this evening. I've been thinking along this line, or this line of thinking, is where our heart has been. Everything about what I'm going to give you tonight is not necessarily all original, and the Lord's kind of shared some things with us through some others, and then has taken what He gave us to add to some of that. But it's been a challenge to my heart for some time now, and I want to share it with you. Ruth chapter number 4. Let's begin reading. Familiar verse to most of us, I guess, that are here tonight. Verses. We'll begin in verse number 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. Behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. There is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up, notice this phrase, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. The kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. This was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, and this is where we want to kind of focus in, especially verse 10. But notice what Boaz has to say. Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. All the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and to do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. You can be seated this evening. We'll leave off our reading there. Bear with me just a moment, and we'll get to our thought, and we'll give you a few things to ponder tonight. Heavenly Father, one more time, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we beseech you and come before you for mercy and for strength and for grace. And Lord, as we gather around the Word of God, try to declare these things that, Lord, have been upon our heart. Lord, in a heavy way this afternoon, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to help the people of God. Lord, this is your Word, your message, your truth, and Lord, I pray this evening that, Lord, it would be conveyed, Lord, in such a way that we'd all leave here, Lord, having a greater understanding of the Christian life and what it really is to serve the Lord. And Lord, I pray we'd all take an inventory tonight of our own motivations, and that, Lord, we would be stirred, Lord, to be motivated, Lord, in a right way and for the right cause. And Lord, all that you do there, we'd sure be thankful for how you work that in our life. Bless the remainder of this service and, Lord, this message, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, maybe somebody listening tonight here or somewhere else, Lord, that doesn't know the Lord, I do pray for their soul tonight. Lord, that you would let them see Christ, Lord, in this man Boaz, and, Lord, all that he done, Lord, for their salvation. nor may they be drawn by that goodness of the Lord that leadeth men to repentance. In all that you do, Lord, we'll bless and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We are well familiar, I think, with the book of Ruth. I'm sure we've not studied all and learned all or preached all that should be and could be preached from this great book of the Word of God. And tucked away here in the middle of the Old Testament is a gold mine of truths concerning redemption's story. The romance, one and many preachers have referenced and authors have referenced as the romance of redemption. This is the story. This is the theme of the book of Ruth. And if Christ is hid in the Old Testament and revealed there in the types and the figures and the stories, and the Spirit of God is chosen to preserve in the Word of God, then I believe Christ is seen in absolutely every facet of the book of Ruth for you and for me. What a story that it is. This is the story of the young woman that bears the name of this book, a Moabitess girl, a Moabitess young lady or young woman, if you will, that had been born and grew up in Moab. And yet in chapter number one, we find that through a series of happenings and a word that came back from Bethlehem, Judah, and this backslider, Naomi, begins to be drawn back to the will of God and to Bethlehem, Judah, having heard that the Lord had visited his people again and giving them bread. This pricked the heart of Naomi, encouraging her and drawing her back to her place. And yet we find that when she made her way back, she brings this young woman, Ruth, back with her. Ruth's life is radically changed in Ruth chapter number one. And throughout the course of the story of this book, we understand that God in his divine providence is doing great and wondrous things for this stranger. This one who is a foreigner, this one who is an outsider that's been looking in, this one that is not accustomed to the laws of God and the worship of Jehovah. And it is this very kind for which God is invested in this story. God is going to rescue her life. God is going to save her life. God is going to bring her out of a state of being a Moabitess and bring her literally into the family of Christ. What a story the book of Ruth is concerning what God can do in the life of one sinner. How that God can not only rescue that sinner, but use that sinner to bring about an impact in the will and the purposes of our God. I'm glad tonight that God has seen you and God seen me as Gentiles and strangers and foreigners not accustomed to the laws of God, wayward from God himself, without any hope. But I'm glad that he came to where we were and drew us to himself to the point that somewhere along life's way, if you're saved tonight, you made a confession that he would be your God and his people would be your people then. And what a difference that God made in our lives. And we see that illustrated in the life of this one by the name of Ruth. And I'm interested tonight in the grander character, if you will. I know, and this is the book of Ruth, for it is the story of what God has done for this woman. But I want to say tonight, there is an equally great, maybe greater character in the book of Ruth, and it is the man that is the star of the book of Ruth, the man Boaz. If you take Boaz out of this story, Ruth's story doesn't make any sense. If you take Boaz out of the picture, then, hey man, all that happens in Ruth's life, my friend, is left unscripted. It's left unwritten. It's left unlived. Amen. Everything that God is going to do in Ruth's life, it hinges, amen, on what he's going to use Boaz to do in her life. We understand Boaz is that picture of the Lord Jesus to you and to me. And what a redeemer Boaz is. He, amen, certainly was willing and wealthy, and he, amen, met all the credentials of being the near kinsman to buy her back. Amen. And to bring her into his family and into, amen, relationship to him as he would be her husband and she would be his bride. And all of that God is using Boaz to do. And I'm not necessarily preaching all this other than to make a point here in just a moment. I think about what God has done in our life. You know, if you take Jesus out of the picture, and my friend, we're still just Moabites, we're still Gentiles, we're still, amen, some of you still drunkards, and some of you still pill heads, and amen, some of us are still heathens, and amen, all of us are sinners headed to a devil's hell. Amen, we owe everything that God has done in our life, we owe it to, amen, Jesus being in the story, to Jesus being in the picture. Amen, and the book of Ruth teaches that loud and clear and plain to you and I. Ain't you thankful for our heavenly Boaz? Amen, and we understand that, Boaz, he favors Ruth, he sees her, he favors her, he, amen, he befriends her, he does all this work in her life. Amen, that is going to culminate into the verses that we have read tonight, whereby Boaz is going to redeem her for and to himself. Amen, that he might be hers and she might be his. And we read the procedure of this in our text this evening. In the story of redemption, our text verse involves what we'll call tonight the legal procedures of redeeming the inheritance of this one by the name of Mahlon. Amen. Mahlon is the one that had married Ruth down in Moab. He was one of the two sons to Elimelech and Naomi. I don't know how long they were married before Mahlon died and was buried. I don't know how long that, amen, Ruth had been widowed. I'm not aware of the details of all of that. It's not given in the Word of God. We do know this in Ruth chapter number 4 that Boaz was willing to fulfill all the legal requirements that were involved in him being able to pay for her redemption unto himself. In these legal proceedings and procedures we've read about tonight, we find that there are 10 elders that are called to sit down in the gate of Bethlehem, Judah. And the two primary characters is this man by the name of Boaz and another unnamed man that is said to be the nearer kinsman. And Boaz lays out all the circumstance and all the situation. Amen. That somebody's got to do something about buying this field. And are you interested? The man said, I'd love that. Out of my portfolio, a real estate deal, I'll buy the field from Naomi. And Boaz said, well, now understand this, whoever buys that field, they're responsible for this Moabitess girl by the name of Ruth. And Boaz lays it all out there. He said that when this is done, amen, he said, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess. In verse number 5, the wife of the dead. And then Boaz said, here's what is involved in this. To raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Amen. In other words, you've got to do this in the name of Mahlon. It ain't about you. It's not about your name. It's about Mahlon and Mahlon's namesake and Mahlon's seed and Mahlon's inheritance and this near kinsman who is unnamed and unknown to you and I. He said, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing, amen, that my name would be diminished by, amen, letting another's name prevail in this situation. Amen. And so he was unwilling. He said, I cannot redeem it. Amen. Lest I mar mine own inheritance. And this statement will make more sense in a moment, but file it away in your thoughts and hang on to it a moment. What the man is saying is, I'm not interested in Mahlon's name. I'm interested in my own name. I'm interested in my own namesake. I'm interested in my own kingdom. I'm interested in my own life. I'm interested in my own inheritance. I'm not interested in all of that other stuff. And so he forfeits Matthew this. This redemptive act, this redemptive purpose, he forfeits that to Boaz. Now, evidently, Boaz, it did not bother him, amen, to, if we'll use the other man's words, to mar his own inheritance. You see, Boaz is in a place in this text and in this story, amen, that he's willing to do whatever it takes for the redemption of this Gentile woman. Amen. And so what does he say? He said, moreover, verse 10, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. And notice what he said. I am willing to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of his place, ye are witnesses this day. And we find here that, amen, there are two candidates for this redemptive work. There are two candidates, men here, who are qualified, and yet there are two opposing positions. The near kinsman not being willing to mar his own inheritance, but Boaz says, I will redeem it. Amen. I'm not worried about my own name, my own kingdom, my own reputation. I will do this thing, and we'll say some about that here in a moment. I believe that in order to redeem the inheritance, Boaz literally is saying, I'm willing to be forgotten. I'm willing that my name may not be spoken and may not be magnified in this instance. And in this transaction that, amen, that I might purchase, I might, amen, fulfill this service, I might fulfill this aspect of the law of God and what God has required of me to do. He was willing to be forgotten. And so in this legal procedure, literally what is going on is that under this Hebrew culture, the Hebrew law said, that if one man died or leaving behind a widow, amen, then there had to be a seed line somewhere in that man's lineage. Somebody else would have to take that widow to be his bride and to be his wife. Amen. And that in doing so, what it was counted to be, was that man that was taking that wedded woman to be his wife, and he was carrying on the namesake of the one that had been deceased. Amen. This is what Naomi spake about all the way back in Ruth chapter number 1. When Orpah and Ruth both initially set out to go back to Bethlehem. And she implored them to turn back and go to Moab. I don't understand all of that. Amen. But that's what she did. And part of her reasoning seems to be, what the Word of God uncovers, she said, if I could bear a son and seed in my old age, amen, are you willing to wait around to his of age to, amen, perform the right and the duty of the nearer kinsman? Are you going to wait around for such a man to be raised up? And Orpah said, I'm not willing to do that. I'm going back. I'm going to live my own life and seek my own will and my own desire. Amen. But Ruth said, I don't know how the story will go. Amen. But I'm willing to go where you are going. And yet little did she know in the sovereignty of God. Amen. There's a man willing to be forgotten. There is a man and said, I'll put my name on the line. I'll be willing to walk away from all of this, amen, to serve and to be what, amen, this Moabitess woman needs. Amen. Can I say tonight, I'm not necessarily preaching this. Amen. This is not the point of the message. I'm almost there. But can I say tonight, what a picture of Christ is seen in mighty wealthy Boaz. Amen. Oh, what a mighty wealthy man Boaz was. Amen. But when it comes to the end of chapter number 4, amen, we find that my friend him to be, amen, the strength of the Lord, one willing to lay aside, amen, all that he is and all that he has, and he may buy the purchase, pay for the purchase price and the redemption of such a one as Ruth the Moabitess. Amen. Can I say tonight that's what Christ did 2,000 years ago? Amen. He's willing to lay aside his glory. He's willing to lay aside his crown. He's willing to walk away from his throne. He was willing, my friend, to leave the praise and the worship of all the angelic host of heaven. Amen. And lay all of that aside. Amen. That he might come to where we were. Amen. And pay for our redemption. Amen. I'm glad tonight I've got a heavenly Boaz. Amen. I'm glad there's one. Amen. That when others were unwilling and others were unable, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ said, amen, said, I'm willing to be forgotten. I am willing. Amen. I'm willing to lay my, amen, name on the line. Amen. And do what needs to be done for the will of God for them to be saved. Amen. And so we find that Boaz was willing to be forgotten. Amen. What a picture of Christ in our redemption tonight. Amen. And so there is a doctrinal and very deep doctrinal truths that we can derive out of the text tonight and all that Christ did for you and for me, and we could shout on that. Amen. And if somebody'd say amen loud enough, we'd cut loose and just do that a while. Amen. But I'm interested tonight in a very practical outlook on this. You see, while Christ is seen in this aspect of Boaz, Boaz also teaches us about our own service and our own motivations for our service. Amen. In other words, in Boaz, I see some reflection of the Christian life. Amen. And how else could we deny that if he's a picture of Christ? And Christ is the epitome picture of what a Christian is. And my friend Boaz testifies to you and I of what it really is to be a Christian. Amen. And so let me give you three things out of the text here. Amen. I'll give you my thought, and then I'll give you three more main things that I think is, amen, a challenge to us tonight. Amen. In verse number 10, I think we can conclude in Boaz, in this practical portrait of a Christian, I see the reputation Boaz forfeited. A reputation Boaz forfeited. You see, in all these legal proceedings, really the matter at hand is, amen, Boaz is presenting to this nearer kinsman, are you willing to put your reputation on the line? Are you willing to forfeit what all these others know you are and know you to be? Are you willing to put your namesake on the line? And this man said, I can't do that. I'm not willing to mar. I'm not willing to be belittled. I'm not willing to be less than what I've strove so hard to be. Amen. But Boaz says, I am willing. Amen. If you're not willing, I am willing. And even if you was willing, I'd still be willing. Amen. To forfeit my reputation. He was willing to be forgotten. He is willing, my friend, to be. Amen. To have his name belittled and others' names made magnified. Amen. You see, Boaz, by the time you come to chapter number 4, he is no longer invested in self and namesakes. He's no longer interested in fields and business. He's no longer interested in crops and in harvest times. Amen. Now it is all about, amen, being willing to be forgotten. Amen. Is putting his reputation upon the line. And tonight I'm not talking about not being invested in her name and her testimony.
My friend, as far as being children of God. Amen. But what I am saying tonight, amen, that to do this required a willingness, amen, for Boaz to be unrecognized. Amen, for the sake of others. Amen, for him to do what he is going to do. It is not so much about Boaz as it is Mahlah. It's about the dead, the name of the dead being raised. Amen, even the name of one who died a backslider outside of the will of God, having done things against the law of God. Amen, Boaz says, I am willing, amen, to forfeit all of my reputation. Amen, that I might be of service to this one that is in need. Amen, she don't have a hope if somebody's not willing, amen, to forfeit their reputation. Amen, can I say tonight, amen, when he came to Christ, the Bible said, amen, that he was made in the likeness of men. He made himself of no reputation. And when he came into this world, he came to be a servant. He came, my friend, not to be served, amen, but to serve. And serve he did. He girded himself. Amen, he wasn't too big that he couldn't stoop down in the ground and wash the dirty feet of his disciples. Amen, he wasn't, my friend, too big of reputation. Amen, that my friend, he was uninterested in being identified with lepers and unclean people and people who were known as publicans and sinners. Amen, and to befriend them along the way. He didn't care what the Pharisees thought about him. My friend didn't come to impress religious people. Amen, he came willing to lay aside. Amen, and forfeit his reputation in the eyes of men that he might do the will and the work of God. Amen. I believe that, amen, in our day there are so few true servants of God. Amen. Because we're too worried about what everybody else thinks about us. Amen. We're too worried about, what's other folk in the church going to think? Amen. What does it give a flip what anybody thinks? Amen. When it comes to being a servant of God, amen, you've got to be willing to put your name on the line. Amen. The reputation he forfeited. Amen. This first man said, I ain't willing to do that. I want to be known. I want a namesake. I want a kingdom. I want it for Jesus. And y'all better get a hold of this. Amen. What he's really saying is, amen, in the generations to come, I'm laying up a namesake and a legacy. And if I do this, it's going to mar that. And I won't be known as the man I'm looking to be known for. Amen. What he's invested in self. Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't figure it'd get this quiet in here. The reputation Boaz forfeited. Notice with me the romance Boaz felt. I imagine maybe some of them elders said, well, Boaz, the name you've got, the might you have, the things you own, why in the world are you willing to be forgotten? Why would you be willing to let all of that go for something like this Moabitess? Amen. I believe Boaz wouldn't even bat an eye. He'd just say, well, y'all don't understand. I've got love in my heart. Right. Amen. Amen. Simply put, love was his motivation. Yes, sir. It was love that motivated him. Yes, it wasn't fear. It wasn't, amen, it wasn't terror. It wasn't applause of men. He doesn't necessarily even seem to, amen, acknowledge any of that, even though he's going to get it when it's all said and done. But that doesn't seem to be the motivating factor. Amen. Simply put, there was a romance that Boaz felt in his heart. And can I say tonight, when it comes to our Christianity and our Christian service and us being servants of the Lord and servants of one another, amen, the motivating factor better be and ought to be love. Amen. It ought to be love for God first and foremost. Amen. If you love Him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Amen. You don't mind laying your reputation on the line. Amen. You don't mind forfeiting. Amen. All you think you are. Amen. When love is the motivating factor. Amen. You're willing to get your hands in there. Amen. You're willing to get down in the muck and the mire. Amen. And serve and do what needs to be done in the work of God. Amen. Amen. Why is it we fade? Amen. It's so hard to serve one another. I'm going to tell you why. Amen. There is a lacking of love motivation in our heart. Amen. Reputation Boaz forfeited. The romance that Boaz felt. Amen. Why do you do what you do?
Amen.
Amen. Somebody says, preacher, why do you live the way you live? Because I love God.
Amen. Amen.
Preacher, why is it you give your life all these years in the work of God and through the battles and the fights and the troubles and the valleys that you're still trying to serve God? Amen. I just ain't ever quit loving Him. Amen. I still love God. I still love the people of God. And I'm not trying to raise myself as any kind of standard today. Amen. But I do know this, and I do want to say tonight, amen, it's been love for God and love for God's people, amen, that has kept me in the fight and kept me in the service of the Lord. Amen. I don't ever want to lose that love motivation that motivates me to serve God.
Amen.
The reputation Boaz forfeited, the romance Boaz fell, and so he's willing to be forgotten for love's sake.
Amen.
For love's sake, he's willing to be forgotten. Notice with me tonight, and it'll bring me to my thought, and I'll be just a minute longer, but notice the recognition Boaz found. Boaz is literally saying, I'll let my name be belittled that Mahlon's can be made big. I'll be willing to be marred so that he can be magnified. Are you willing to do that tonight? Are you willing that others can be magnified and made big in your sight and around your life and around what you are, and you be somehow, amen, be made less and decrease while others increase? Amen. Are you willing to do that? Boaz was, for love's sake. Boaz said, I'm gladly, I'm willing to be forgotten. Amen. No matter if you ever utter my name another day. It doesn't matter if you ever magnify me another time. Amen. I'm willing to be forgotten. But here's what I want you to notice tonight. That Boaz was willing to be forgotten, but he never was. He was willing to be forgotten, but he never was. Here's something that I have noticed now that I've lived 43, coming up on 44 years. Amen. Here in a few months, amen, is that as I get older, I've looked around and I've watched at those that my friend try to be known and try to live a life whereby, amen, they will be well known in namesake and kingdom building. Amen, that there, my friends, are the ones, sir, they may be known for a moment. Amen, but they, my friend, will be forgotten. Those, amen, that try to gain the applause of men and the accolades of society. Amen, trying to seek their own recognition. Amen, trying to develop their own reputation. Amen, that's the crown that, my friend, when they die, their name will die with them. That crown that I say I'm willing to be forgotten. I am willing to give myself to a life of Christian service. I love God. I love God's people. I love sinners. I love serving the Lord. And if nobody ever whispers my name, it'll be fine. If my name's not ever on the marquee, it'll be all right. If they never write up big articles about what I have done or have not done, that will be fine. I'm willing to be forgotten, that may I say. Amen. Those that are willing to be forgotten, they are the kind. Amen. The kind that God will make sure to recognize. Amen. Boaz said, I'm willing to be forgotten, but God made sure that Boaz was never forgotten. Amen. And so those that, amen, would just say alongside of John the Baptist, I'm willing to decrease. I must decrease. Amen. So that he may increase. Amen. I love him too much to seek my own. Amen. We're not seeking our own. Jesus didn't even come seeking his own. Amen. But he came seeking his Father. Said, amen. He came to seek and to do the will of God. Amen. He came seeking to please the one who had sent it. Amen. And that is the example of our life. Amen. That's what Boaz is teaching you and I. Amen. That there is a light there in the Christian life. Amen. There is a light that goes beyond the here and the now. If you and I be willing to be forgotten, God will make sure there's a recognition that is found. Amen. Amen. This needs, Brother Joe will testify to this. Amen. This thought, maybe not this message. I don't know how it's really going over. It feels good up here, but this message needs to be preached in a lot of preachers' meetings. They're men, they do all they can to push their name and their ministry and their kingdom out to the forefront and magnify it so that people will give them, amen, applause and magnify them for the great things they've done. Amen. You say, how you know? All you got to do is listen to them. They'll tell you how great a Christian they are, how high their standard is, how much they pray, how many times they've read their Bible through. They'll brag on themselves as though they are the epitome of what a Christian is. Really, all that's about, Brother Joe, is them wanting to try to make sure their name is not forgotten. Amen. But I want to say tonight, if we'll be willing to be forgotten, God will make sure there's a recognition and we will never be forgotten. Here's what I'm preaching on. I took all that time to get to this thought. I got three little things I want to give to you, but I'm preaching on what you'll find if you're willing to be forgotten. Say, preacher, if I live that kind of life, if I don't tell everybody how great I am, if it ain't put out there, preacher, if you don't acknowledge my work and my deeds and my service, if my name ain't called out in every little thing I've done, amen, people don't know about it, how's anybody going to know about it? Amen, all I can tell you is, amen, if we'll be willing to be forgotten, God, amen, to make sure we find some recognition along the way. Amen. Oh no, it may not be in the sword of the Lord. Who'd want their name in that anyway? Somebody help me out right there. Amen. It may not be my friend old. Amen. The latest billboard. Amen. The who's who and the up and coming. Brother A.L., there are some things we'll find. Amen. Where God will let it be recognized. Amen. Our name to be recognized. Our service. Amen. To be recognized if we'll just be willing to be forgotten. Amen. Number one, let me say in the life of Boaz, I see that Boaz, amen, he was never forgotten by his children. Him saying, I'm willing to be forgotten. Days to come through the life of his children. There was a scene that was raised up. My friend, what Boaz was saying in verse number 10. Amen. The name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Literally under the law, what Boaz is saying is, I'm willing to raise up children in the name of Mahlon. Amen. And what they would say, they didn't have last names like, amen, we do in this day and this hour. Amen. They were known, and you'll know this terminology being Bible readers and students. And throughout the Word of God, what were men known as? The son of Abraham, the son of Jacob. Amen. And so we find it. And Boaz said, I'm willing to be forgotten. I'm willing to take my place and be made small and to be made little. Amen. And others can be magnified. I don't care. I'll just do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. But do you know this? Every time, amen, the seed gland of Malon was ever mentioned. Amen. Do you understand that it was always referenced? Amen. As the son of Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. Amen. It was never Malon. Amen. There was never any glory given to Malon. There was never any recognition given to Malon. Amen. And there was a man because there was a man. Amen. That was willing to serve the Lord and to do his part and to be willing, my friend, to be a servant. Amen. And lay aside his reputation, motivated by love. Amen. There was a seed that was raised up, whereby Boaz was never forgotten by his children. You'll read about this in Ruth 4, verse 21. And Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. You read about this in 1 Chronicles 2 and verse 11 and 12. It's mentioned again, the lineage line, and we come to the man by the name of Boaz. Amen. And he speaks of the sons and those that had been begotten by the elders that Boaz begat Obed. Amen. And we'll read when you come to the New Testament in Matthew chapter number 1, we'll find, amen, both Ruth and Boaz are mentioned there. Amen. But Boaz is in that lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the father of Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who begat King David. Amen. You see, there's a lineage, said, amen, in the seed line of this man willing to be forgotten, that he was never forgotten by his children. Amen. In fact, in the New Testament, amen, somebody said, well, what about Ruth? What a great, great character in the Word of God. You understand that Ruth is only mentioned one time in the book of Matthew. Boaz gets his name in Matthew and in Luke. Amen. In the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, those that are willing to be forgotten, that, amen, the Lord will see to it that they'll never be forgotten by their children. Amen. Do you understand tonight that your pastor, amen, is preaching here tonight? I am the product of, amen, of a man in Lige Ledbetter, my grandpa, amen, who traveled up and down the roads in this country. Amen, preaching in little bow-tongue towns. Amen, little small little places. Amen, preaching to little congregations along the way. Amen, he wasn't seeking accolades and reputation. Amen, he just sold out and said, I'm going to live my life for God. I'm going to go all the way. I'm willing to be forgotten. I don't care who knows my name. Amen, and he traveled up and down the road. Amen, and all his children didn't turn out to serve God. Amen, in the early days, I think all of them, amen, are serving the Lord tonight. Amen, all his grandchildren are not serving the Lord tonight. But Jack, every one of us that knew it, every one of us that saw his life, every one of us that knew, there goes a man who is motivated by love and travels and sacrifices and goes. Amen, because he loves God and loves God's people and wants to see sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen, we all look back. Amen, and those that are living for God and those that ain't living for God will have to testify and set a godly example before our life. Amen. And I say tonight, amen, so long as Jeff Ledbetter brings God's air, and so long, amen, as I'm upon this earth and life, amen, runs through my veins, amen, there'll be a man that'll be remembered, amen, not because he sought to be remembered, amen, but his life had an impact on my life, amen, and he will never be forgotten by his children. And I say to those of us with wayward children tonight, amen, that doesn't listen. They'll have to, amen, pillow their head tonight. Amen. If you've tried your best to be a servant of God. Amen. If you've tried your best to love God with all your heart. Amen. And love the church and love the Bible and love, amen, the people of God the way that we're supposed to. Amen. They may not have embraced our God yet. Amen. But I believe tonight when they pillow their head, amen, they'll have to look up to the God of glory and say, I may not be interested in God. I don't know that my daddy was, and I know that my mama is, and I know that I've got a lineage back yonder that has set an example of what it is to be willing to be forgotten. Amen. I'd rather my children, listen, I'm understanding I ain't nearly as bold as it used to be about, amen, how my children was, amen's going to turn out. I understand, amen, that they all have choices to make. Amen. But I hope, listen, if I die this week and y'all have my funeral by next Lord's Day, amen, I hope my children walk by my casket and say, amen, that man right there, he may not have left us much wealth. Amen, he may not have been a lot of things in this world said he had to be. But he loved God with all his heart. And he gave it all that he had. And he poured it all out. And we watched him serve God with. It would have been easier to walk away. But he was willing to be forgotten. He was willing to give it his all. We realize that that's a man of God.
Amen.
Y'all listening? Amen. He was never forgotten by his children. Amen.
Amen.
A man willing to be forgotten produced one of the most recognizable names in the world to this day. Go anywhere you want to go, say King David of Israel. They still talk about him. Are y'all listening? But Tim, we still talk about King David. Amen. We only talk about Boaz when we're going through a little series through the book of Ruth. Amen. But everybody talks about King David. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, child of God, it pays to serve God. Amen. All of Boaz's children and grandchildren, they didn't all turn out to serve God. Amen. Some of them were knot heads, and some of them was filled with pride. Amen. Some of them God could not use because, amen, of their mentality, amen, their arrogance and their ignorance of who God was. Amen. But somewhere down the road, amen, through the life of this man who said, I'm willing, you may not be willing, but I'm willing to be forgotten, God raised up a king that had served an entire nation and generation of people.
Amen.
Amen. He was never forgotten by his children. Number two, he is never forgotten by, we'll call it tonight, by his church. Israel worshipped in tabernacles in the days of Ruth, but in days that was their church, their place of worship. Amen. And Boaz's great-grandson's going to come along. Amen. In days to come, David's going to say, I want to build a house for God. God said, well, you ain't going to do it, but I'll let your boy Solomon do it. The great-great-grandson of Boaz, amen, moved the children of God out of a worship place that was nothing more than a goatskin tent and built a beautiful, one of the most magnificent places of worship as has ever been built in all of human history. When they were constructing, I'm about to shout. When they were constructing the temple, there were two pillars that was placed and fastened there in the entrance of that place of worship. You'll read about them. I was going to read it. I've got to wind down, but you'll read about them in 1 Kings chapter number 7 and verse number 21. Do you know what one of the names of one of those pillars were? One of those pillars, they said, let's call that Boaz. Amen. Every time the people of God walked in to go worship the Lord God Jehovah, amen, they'd have to go by and they'd say, there's one of them pillars. There's the pillar Boaz, and my friend, his name was spoken. Amen. Every time a little Israelite family brought their lamb to the house of God, amen, they walked by and Boaz, my friend, was being remembered one more time. Amen. Maybe them little children walking by. Amen. They hear their mom and daddy talking about these pillars and they mention Boaz. Well, daddy, why is it called Boaz? And all of a sudden, daddy, amen, begins to tell redemption story one more time. Amen. It begins to tell about a man that was willing to be forgotten. A man who said, I'm not interested in my own name. And you know what God did, son? Young daughter, do you understand what God did? Amen. God put that pillar here in the house of God. Amen. To be a witness to the rest of us. Amen. Be willing to be forgotten, and God will give you a namesake. And God will never let your name be forgotten in the house of God. Amen. One of the things that wrecks and ruins churches is people trying in their own might to gain a name in the church. But if you'll be willing to find your place and say, you know what, it don't matter if I'm ever recognized. And it's right to recognize people along the way. I'm not saying we ought to intentionally unrecognize people, but if you'll have the mentality in yourself, I'm willing to be forgotten. You know what God will do? If you just keep showing up, keep doing what you know to be right, loving the Lord, loving His people, loving His church, loving sinners, God will raise you up to be a pillar in the house of God. Amen. We still talk about Tony Lehman to this day. How many years has he been gone? We still talk about Brother Jennings, and he's been gone how many years now? Amen. And there are certain people that lived a life of Christian service, a life of ministering to the saints, that, and even though they're dead, Brother Tim, it's like Abel, though dead, yet speaketh. And we still recall their life. And there are times we sit around and we talk about them. Amen. We miss them, and we miss them for their worship, and we miss them for the way they prayed and the way they worshiped. And we miss their fellowship, and we miss their camaraderie. Amen, because they were people that, amen, were willing to be forgotten. God made sure they're never forgotten in their church. Amen. But you become a troublemaker, amen. When you go off the scene, we'll go, whew. Yes, glad they're gone. Yes, amen, and we'll forget you in about 90 days. Right. Y'all listening? Amen. You raise the devil and try to, amen, promote your own name, make it about you. That, amen, I promise you in days to come, if your name ever does come back up, amen, it'll be spoke, my friend, in whispers and going, boy, amen, I'm glad they ain't here anymore. Amen. But there's some men. There's men like A.L. Hall and Jerry Phillips. Amen. Have been in this church a long, long time. Amen. And they've anchored in and they've served God. And they, amen, they show up when they, amen, they just don't even feel good. And they just want to do it because they love God. They want to do it because they're willing, amen, to be what God has saved them to be. They didn't ask me to call their name out. We called others out. Amen. And if you get mad because I called their name and not your name, then you sure need the message tonight. Amen. And these are men that, amen, would you not agree, already have become pillars in the house of God. Amen. I gotta quit. I'm a rambling. But you become one of these people. You're in and you're out, and you only halfway show up. If you die, if you live that kind of Christian life, if you die this week, we'll forget you in about 90 days. So, preacher, that's mean. It's just the truth of the matter.
Amen.
That crowd that said, I don't need no recognition. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. Brother A.L., he broke my heart about a year ago. He got talking about, I don't know how many more days I got left. And he got talking about dying and all that. I said, you need to stop that. Amen. Amen. He said, well, I'm just getting old. I said, I don't want to hear nothing about that. Amen. You ain't allowed. You are never allowed to die. We need Him. We need you that are faithful. Say, preacher, I don't even feel like I'm being recognized. I don't feel like what I do is even all that important. I just feel like, amen, that nobody even knows, and nobody even knows where I'm at or what I do. Amen. Listen, you just keep doing what you ought to do. You keep being what you ought to be. You keep getting in there and plug in. Amen. Sit up in your seat and get a hold of truth from God's Word and say, I'm going to get fed. I'm going to live what's being preached. I'm going to be all God saved me to be. Amen. And when you die, we'll still be talking about you years from now. Amen. Sam, what a blessing they were. What a life they lived. What an impact they made. Amen. What an influence they left upon our generation. Amen. 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 I'd hate to think that I'd lived for the Lord all these days. Amen. And then when I was gone, it was as though the church didn't even know that I was even ever there. Somebody say, man. I didn't mean to be mean. Y'all know I'm telling the right. I'm trying to find the balance of being sweet and bust our chops. Amen. Amen. He was never forgotten by his children or by his church. He was never forgotten by his creator. Do you understand how many people are in the book of Ruth that are mentioned either by name or by inference that once you leave the book of Ruth, they're never mentioned again? You never read about Orpah after chapter number one. She's forgotten. She wanted to go to the world. She wanted to go, amen, back to Moab. She wanted to go back and live it up. She wanted my friend to have what the world had and gain her name and her namesake and her fame, amen, and her accolades. Amen, she wanted the approval of Moab in her life again. That's fine. You can live for all that. You can live for that kind of life. But you'll be forgotten. Orpah was never remembered again. Amen. Mahlon, after chapter number 4, in fact, you'll find that in the King James Bible, the name Mahlon is only mentioned 4 times. You know how many times Boaz is mentioned in the Bible? 24 times. Amen. Boy, I'm about to shout. Mahlon, he's willing to say, I'll do this for Mahlon's name. I'm willing to be forgotten. And God said, oh, you may be willing to be forgotten, but you'll never be forgotten. And Mahlon's name was never uttered again. Mahlon's name was never mentioned again. And over and over and over and over and over. Amen. God said, let me tell you about Boaz. Amen. I'd rather have his promotion in my life. I'd rather have God's recognition in my life and be willing to be forgotten in this world and in this life. Amen. And know that my Creator remembers me.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The unnamed nearer kinsman, don't you find it interesting? God don't even put his name in the Word of God. The Holy Ghost knew who he was. Brother Larry, the Holy Ghost knew who he was. He could have, amen, I need a name. Amen, I don't want to pick on nobody. He could have said, Terry. We ain't got no Terrys in the building, do we? Amen, he could have said, near kinsman, Terry. Amen, but the Holy Ghost didn't even mention his name. He's never brought up again. God, 24 times in the Word of God, said, let me tell you about Boaz. Amen. Amen. I mentioned it already, but 2 times in the New Testament. Amen. When the Creator is getting ready to speak about the glorious man, the God-man that had ever been born among men. Amen. The greatest one to ever breathe God's hair. Amen. When he's getting ready to tell the story in the background of the family lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, the Creator, God said, amen, we can't tell about Jesus without telling about Boaz. And he mentioned Boaz by name, so has, amen, to infer the story of this man's life. A man that said, I'm willing to be forgotten. God said, I'll make sure you're never forgotten. If all Israel were to have forgotten Boaz, God would have remembered him.
That's right.
Amen. They may be people in our generation that are Bible ignorant, that know nothing of the name of Boaz. They've never read the name Boaz. They have never uttered the name Boaz. That you mark her down, honey. There's a God in glory. Amen. That looked down and seen a man willing to be forgotten, a man. Amen. That said, I'll let my reputation be forfeited. Amen. I love this woman and I love God. I'm willing to do what it takes to buy her and redeem her. Amen. And God said, that's my kind of child. Amen. That's my kind of man. That's a man that, amen, reflects what my son is. I'll make sure I'll never forget him.
Amen.
I say tonight, if you are willing to be forgotten, understand that you never will be. God will see to it that he'll keep a record of all you've ever done and all you've ever been and all them times you thought you was making a great sacrifice and yet you was willing to do it. God's got a record of that. Brother Tim, was it you this morning that read Malachi chapter number 3? Amen. About that crowd, the justified and the redeemed, they get together and God sees all their tears and God hears all their conversation and God acknowledges all their life and he said, I'm writing you down in a book. Writing it all down in a book. All the days I'm about to run a lap. All the days you could have made it about you. You died to self. All the days you couldn't have made it about your namesake, but you made it about Jesus' namesake. All the days you could have bailed out and you could have quit and you could have, amen, walked away, but you hung in there loving God, loving God's people, loving sinners, and you stayed after it. The Bible teaches you on that. And God is keeping a record of that kind of a life. Amen. And when we get the other side, God's going to say, hey, you thought everybody forgot about you. You thought you had gone unrecognized. God's going to say, let me show you what I've been taking note of. And he pulls out the record, Brother Jack. Boy, wouldn't that be something for him to reveal the impact and the influence of a life that was just simply willing to be forgotten. We got to die to pride. We got to die to self. We got to die to arrogance. We got to die to kingdom building. We got to be willing to say, this thing ain't about me. It's about Jesus first and foremost. Then it's about others. And whether or not I'm ever recognized does not matter a hill of beans. Amen. Be amazing what God, it is amazing what God has done and can still do with somebody just willing to be forgotten. Amen. Say, preacher, how do I know if I need this? Well, if you're jaded because somebody didn't recognize you for something, you need this. Amen. If something swells up in you and somebody else gets recognized for something, then you need this. Amen. When somebody else gets a pat on the back and you're just left there and that bothers you, you need this. Amen. If that little spirit of envy rises up, it goes, well, why a preacher called their name and he didn't call my name? Then we're the ones who need this. Are you willing to be forgotten? Amen. I know that's a different message. I didn't mean to go this long, but I'm done. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Keep us safe as we dismiss here in just a moment. Lord, keep us safe, protected. May the blessings of God go with us, Lord, tonight. Lord, we know tonight that the Christian life, it can't be about us. Lord, we're called to live a life that is all about the Savior. If we're going to be about all that the Savior was about, we've got to be about others. Lord, we've got to be willing to gird ourselves. Lord, to minister to the needs of others. Lord, we've got to be willing, Lord, to go after the down and the out and the rejects. And Lord, those that
Lord, would be counted vile among the world. And Lord, do our best, Lord, to say, I don't care what the world thinks about it. And Lord, give ourselves, Lord, to the redemption of sinners. Lord, help us, Lord, in these days to live this. Lord, take these scattered thoughts and, Lord, make it come alive, Lord, in our hearts. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.